Well, good evening. Good to have you all here tonight. Appreciate you all making it out. Let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get to our scripture recitation. Shall we pray? Almighty Father, we come to you tonight, thankful for your truth, thankful for the opportunity we have to not only study the Word of God, but to memorize it, to hide it within our hearts, to fellowship over it, Father, as we recite it before one another. Father, this is a time of family. This is a time of fellowship. And we thank you for it. We thank you that the oldest among us down to the youngest among us can all participate in this activity as it's a part of our blessings of being a part of the body of Christ. And we thank you for that. Bless our time tonight, Father. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Alethea, can you hit that light switch that's closest to you? Yes, thank you. I'm getting blinded by these floodlights up here. Okay. Who has verses ready? Who's been working? We got a door and we got a good shepherd. Even before that, we've got bread and we've got light. Let's just start with the new ones and then we can back up to some of the old ones. All right. We're dealing with the I Ams of Jesus. The six I Ams of Jesus. We've covered four of those six. You get the fifth and sixth ones tonight to memorize for next week. But so far we have I Am, something to do with bread, and then I Am, something to do with light, and then I Am, something to do with door, unless you're an NIV person, then it's gate, all right, and then I Am, good shepherd. Four of these over the last couple of weeks that we've been working on. So let's start with bread. Who has a verse dealing with bread? From John 6, 35. Lily. Can you stand up? There you go. The one who comes to me will never hunger. The one who believes in me will never thirst. That's awesome. Bread of life. And of course, the I Am, these are all Jesus talking, right? Jesus is the bread of life. Okay? Light. Specifically, I am the light of the world. Who has this one? I'm throwing you for a loop by going back 2 weeks already, or 3 weeks even. Okay? I am the light of the world. Christopher, anyone? I'm going to make Christopher do all 16 of these tonight. So we'll. I made Irma do all 14 of these last week. Fallon, do you have this one? The light of life. And that's actually John 8:12. That's actually John 8:12. And John 6:35 is bread. Okay? Now the ones for this week, the ones you were expecting, the ones you prepared for, including door and good shepherd. I am the door. We want to spend some time on this tonight too, as we have a few minutes. I am the door. I am the door. Radley. All right, let's do it in class. Let's just do it together. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. There you go. You did probably King James, didn't you? All right. Can you recite it? It can be. There you go. Okay? What is this in and out stuff? I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Let's do the next verse and then we'll come back to this in and out stuff. All right, Good Shepherd, John 10:11. This is the shortest one I think that we've done in a long time. Yes, Susie. Yeah, would you please? Okay. That's it. That's it. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I mean, what else do you want, right? Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. And because he laid down his life, we have life. And amen for that. Absolutely. Amen for that. All right, let's talk about this in and out. Because this, I had a question about this the other day. And actually, Lauren's not here tonight, but she asked the question originally. And I am the door. If anyone enters through me, so maybe she'll hear this on the website. If I am the door, if anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now, we've got to ask ourselves a couple things here. Remember, whenever we have the word saved or whenever we have the word salvation, we've got to ask ourselves, which of the three different kinds of saved are we talking about here? Are we talking about the day you received eternal life? You know, the day that you were redeemed out of darkness and transferred in the kingdom of His beloved Son? Is that what we're talking about? Where you receive eternal life and become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ? That kind of salvation? If that's the kind of salvation we have in view, then we got a problem, because this has an in-and-out kind of two-way door here. And that doesn't match with what we know about salvation in terms of our eternal life. That when we are in Christ, there is no going out, right? So what if this could be another saved in view? There's two other kinds of things that relate to saved, including the presence being saved in time, being saved from the power of sin, being saved from sin temptations, being saved from the struggles of this life. And here we find a really wonderful picture as it relates to this phase two salvation, what we call experiential saved, where you're saved in phase one from the penalty of sin. Phase two, where you're saved from the power of sin, and then ultimately we're looking forward to in heaven when we're actually saved from the very presence of sin. Okay, remember those three different aspects. And the New Testament uses the same sozo, the same soteria. These terms are used in all those applications. So, we really have a theological problem here if this is related to receiving eternal life. Okay, because this talks about in and out. You want to say, well, wait a minute. I don't think there is an out. But when it relates to our experience, now all of a sudden we have a different image that's totally in view. Now, here what I want to bring to your attention is we actually taught this at some length in our Life of Christ series. And so I'm going to show off some of the things that are now available in the Life of Christ series. When you go to the website, I'll turn off my bookmarks up top. Now, you don't need to see what my bookmarks are. I don't need none of your business if I have Fox News and ESPN. Okay. Scripture memory right there. Okay. This brings up all the not scripture memory. That's a good page too. We're in a scripture memory class right now. And all your verses are there. Your audio files are there. Let me back up. I want to show you Life of Christ, which is our Wednesday morning series. There it is, Life of Christ. So here's all the Life of Christ lessons. All right. Now, I want to find, where is this John 10 passage, right? Where is this John 10 passage? Well, the first thing, if I don't already know that it's in the Galilean ministry, it's part of I Am the Good Shepherd. Okay? If I don't know that, if I want to find, where did Pastor Bob teach about John chapter 10? Well, this Harmony of the Gospels document here is going to be awesome for you, because you're going to be able to open this up. You're going to be able to see everything we've taught, everything we're going to teach, everything related to this class is right here in the Harmony of the Gospels. So just download the PDF, print it off, or look at it on your screen. And then you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and scan on down here and say, okay, where's this John 10 passage about, there it is, John 10, 1 through 21. It was taught right here, the Good Shepherd. It's in the last Judean and Prean ministry of Jesus, and it's episode 6 right there. Last Judean and Prean ministry of Jesus, episode 6. So now I know exactly where to go. I'm going to come here to Life of Christ. Okay, are you watching? And on the right-hand side of Life of Christ, you got the different categories here, including the last Judean and Prean ministry right there. There it is. And so when you click on that, what happens to your table then of all the audio files and the printed notes, it all adjusts to what it is that you're looking for. All right. And so when you click on last Judean and Prean ministry, there it is. And it's in reverse order going back. But then you can just glance on down. Remember, it was one of the early ones here. Okay. It was the Good Shepherd. There it is. Right after the man born blind. The Good Shepherd. So click on that, and you see what happened to your table on the left. You just narrowed the scope. You're not looking at all 364 Life of Christ lessons. You're only looking at the ones that relate to this section of Scripture, the Good Shepherd. And we taught it way back in 2008, in August and September of 2008. There were a total of 5 audio classes there. And if you want to, you can listen to all 5 of them. Or if you don't have time for that, just bring up the PDF document, look at your notes. And there's everything that we taught on the Good Shepherd. And so you can find here now, when he talks about I am the door, there it is, I am the door. It's point 2 with all these subpoints, A, B, C, and D. All right. And so now I can learn more about what this metaphor is all about. And I can understand what happens in the ancient world as shepherds will keep multiple flocks in a single pen, in a single sheepfold for the night. And maybe you got three shepherds or four shepherds or eight shepherds, and they all bring their flocks into this one sheepfold for the night. And they come in through the door. And then the doorkeeper, there's a doorkeeper in here in this text in John chapter 10. You see the doorkeeper here? And the doorkeeper opens the door for this guy, as opposed to the robbers and so forth. So you would go in and the sheep could rest there for the night. And they're protected. They're protected from the wolves. They have rest. But they can't eat there in the morning. All right. You actually have to take the flock out in order to find pasture. And so the shepherd will lead forth his sheep. And he takes them to the place where they can find pasture. He takes them to where they can be watered. And he exercises them during the day. And they walk and they do whatever. They come back for the night. Okay? And so we have the picture of this. This is how we have a proper in and out metaphor. Because we're going in for our rest and protection. And we're going out for our feeding. All right? And we have a proper in and out metaphor. We have a proper picture for what is provided there. Anyway, just wanted to spotlight that because it's been a long time coming getting some of these Life of Christ notes published and available. And now up through the end of the Judean ministry, Perean ministry, they're all now available on the website. And hopefully in the next week or two, we'll have everything up to date on the website there, including Corinthians, which I know is also pretty late. Anyway, if you have any questions on that, come see me after class and we will be glad to show you some more as it relates to how the website works and how you find those notes and how do you print them off by subject matter and things like that. All right. That's not why you came tonight. You came tonight for Scripture memory. We're going to give you your last two of the I Am verses. Before we do that, though, I do want to read the next chapter. This is N.A. Wojcik. You need to memorize Scripture. Have I convinced you yet that you need to do this? You absolutely need to do this. A day is coming when, when the fire of testing hits you, you don't always have time to say, stop, can you wait a minute? I want to pull up some notes off the website and kind of review a little bit. You better have the Word of God in your heart. You better have truth keeping you stable. Because in those crisis moments, that's what's going to come forth. Either the stability you have of Scripture that's buried in your heart or just the raw emotionalism of instability because you have not placed the Scriptures in your heart. And hopefully the words of N.A. Wojcik here have been hitting us in these previous weeks. All right, chapter 9, understanding. Quoting from Acts chapter 8 and verse 30, understandest thou what thou readest? Was the appropriate question Philip asked the Ethiopian riding in the chariot and reading the prophecy of Isaiah. Now here you are reading a Scripture which you are intent on committing to memory. Do you understand it? A clear and distinct apprehension is necessary in order for it to stick and dwell in your memory. Sink deeply into your mind the meaning of it. Lay hold of the thoughts contained in Scripture. Therefore, you will be placing in your memory not just words, but the thoughts expressed by those words. So much more powerful when the actual meaning of those words is committed along with the words themselves. Clear perception of the meaning enables your memory to take hold of it. A faint glimmering of the thoughts will vanish like images seen in twilight. Nehemiah records an interesting detail in connection with the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem by the Jewish remnant from Babylon. He tells how Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for that purpose, Nehemiah 8:4, and read the Scriptures to the people. The record goes on, so they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and cause them to understand the reading. That one verse in Nehemiah 8:8, by the way, is kind of the philosophy behind sermonic formations or expository preaching. You read the Scripture, you give the sense of it, you give the meaning of it, so that your audience will understand the reading. Understanding the Scripture prepares the way for assimilating it. It is very difficult, if not impossible, to retain and recall what we do not understand. Now, for short term, you can. For short term, you can memorize certain things just by rote, just by mindlessly, I mean, just not comprehending it, but just memorizing a sequence of words. But it lasts much longer. It's a more long-term memory if, in fact, you have the understanding as well, the comprehension as well. So, in particular with children, they may not have a comprehension right away. And so we stress the memorization as an exercise, as a mental discipline to get the words down. And then what do? As they get a little bit older, we do it all over again. We go back and we learn the same verses all over again. And if they say, well, I already know this verse, that's great. But we want to memorize it again and again and again and try to add some comprehension each time we go through the passages. All right. A good many years ago, I went to a restaurant with a group of young people after the evening service in our church. Among them was George, who was about 23 years of age. He was mentally retarded and probably never went beyond grade 3. You already know the age of this book, don't you? Because we don't use language like that anymore. And there's different terms for it. But anyway, this is where he was. Most of them had enrolled in the basic adult plan, which calls for memorizing 7 verses per week. I asked them how they were doing. Some of them were behind and began to make excuses. When George's turn came, he reported joyfully that he had completed the assignment. And his hearer, who was also present, confirmed the fact and stated that he did it perfectly. How humbling is that? If you're in this crowd, especially of teenagers, young people. I didn't say they were teenagers, but I expect they were probably high school, college kids. And here's George, and George has it in his heart. I asked George to tell us how he did it. He proceeded enthusiastically, somewhat as follows. The way I do it is start with the first word and repeat it over and over again until I know it for sure. Then I take the next word and repeat it many, many times along with the first word. I take one word at a time until I have memorized the whole verse. Now, his diligence is certainly commendable, but he was actually doing it the hard way. He was simply memorizing words instead of thoughts. You must first seek to understand the meaning of the verse as clearly as possible. That's the reason why our memory books have the verses arranged under a particular topic. And then explanatory notes are supplied at the bottom of the page. Similar to the method we're doing here. We're doing all the I am's. And so there's a common theme. There's a common thread. And we know that we're talking about Jesus. We know that these are His statements. And then the little jogging memories like bread, light, door, good shepherd. Those topics ought to help us to think what this verse is about. Where we're not just thinking, okay, John 6:35. What was that again? We have John 6:35. We have bread. And we go, oh yeah. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. The one who believes in me will not hunger. The one who comes to me will never thirst. Okay, and you can just use that as a jog to your memory. All right. One of the most concise yet complete statements dealing with the understanding of divine truth is found in Miles Coverdale's Rules for Reading the Bible. You ever heard of that? Miles Coverdale was an English translator after Tyndale but before King James. It's written in 1535. And he wrote a book called, actually it was an essay, Rules for Reading the Bible. Addressing the reader in his prologue, he wrote, "It shall greatly help you to understand Scripture if thou mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom and to whom, with what words, at what time, where, to what intent, with what circumstances, considering what goeth before and what followeth." Isn't that awesome? Do I need to read that again? I'm going to put that in our newsletter. How about that? I'm going to put that in our newsletter with all of the 16th century spellings. That'll really excite you. But this guy right here must have been on theme tapes, okay? Because he followed a Baraka methodology of eisegetics, categories, and exegesis. And he did so, 4 centuries before the Colonel was ever born. And it's awesome, okay? Another requisite in understanding the Word of God is prompt obedience. I understand more than the ancients, David declared, because I keep thy precepts. I don't think it was David, but it was the psalmist of Psalm 119. Oswald Chambers, author of the classic devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest, strongly emphasizes this point. The tiniest fragment of obedience and heaven opens and the profoundest truths of God are yours straight away. If you think about it, this is true. When Scripture comes alive, you have an understanding when you're in Bible class, you're studying it, you're learning it, you're putting it in your notes. But when you're out there applying it, when all of a sudden you claim a promise and it works, when all of a sudden you're living the Word of God and it comes alive because it has meaning to you, then it's real. Then you got long-term memory when it comes to how the living Scriptures are alive in your life. David prayed while the psalmist of Psalm 119 prayed, "Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And in the same psalm, he pleads five times for understanding. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law, verse 34. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments, verse 73. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies, verse 125. Give me understanding and I shall live, in verse 144. And give me understanding according to thy word, in verse 169. Five different times. So therefore, in undertaking to memorize Scripture, we read it thoughtfully, we study it, taking in the notes which are supplied and consulting other explanatory works, and we earnestly seek the illumination of the Holy Spirit in prayer. Because doesn't God want you to understand this? So when you ask Him to give me understanding, is He not going to answer that prayer? When you lack wisdom and you ask Him for wisdom, what does He do? James chapter 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, right? I hope we have that coming up. That better be one of our memory verses. Because it's an important one. All right. What we do not understand, we do not possess. Do you believe that? What we do not understand, we do not possess. And I think as it pertains to the Word of God, I'd say that's a true statement. If I don't truly understand it, do I really have it? Can I make use of it? Is it going to guard me? Is it going to protect me? I would say not. All right. Let me look at the index. If that James 1 verse isn't in our schedule, I'm going to be a little upset. let's see. Well, it may not be. Well, maybe I'll substitute it in for one of the later ones. All right. Here's your verses for next week. Verses for next week. Week 9, verse 1, I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection and life. You can take the "thes" out. I am resurrection and life from John 11, 25. Resurrection and life. John 11, 25. And then your second, way, truth, and life. This is the Aletheia and Zoe verse. John 14, 6. The sixth of the I Ams. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay? John 11, 25. John 14, 6. Have those down for next week. I already read the what do I want to do when I want to give up. By the way, when we finish this, week 10, are you ready for some encouragement? Week 10 has no new verses. So you're ready to kind of breathe a, okay? Because it's 52 weeks, but you get some grace here and there. We have a review week. This is a week whereby we're going to go back over and over, try to reconfirm. We're going to try to solidify certain things. All right? So, we'll have some fun with that next week. I've read some of these before. What do I do when I want to give up? Don't. Okay? And if you have a partner that's working with you, and it seems to you like they want to give up, don't let them. All right? Encourage them. Say, come on. This is what God has for us. This is our blessing. Let's keep going, okay? And you be the encouragement for them, because the following week they might be the encouragement for you when you're ready to give up. So just keep working at it. And B, it's kind of, you know, one of those accountability partner things. Don't let them quit. Don't let them, there ought to be a term for this. We can't say fall off the wagon. Let's say, what can we say? For abandoning the Scripture memory. I'm going to find something. I'm going to make up something. What, you have something? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There's your assignment between now and next Sunday. Let's work, keep chewing on this. Let's work on this. Because think about the opportunities. And I hope you're not just doing it on Sunday afternoons getting ready for Sunday night. Are we doing this during the week? Are we doing this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Are we doing this at the dinner table? You have an opportunity out, you know, between past the green beans and do we have any more pepper? You have the opportunity to say door. You have the opportunity to say light. You can say way, truth, and life. And just throw verses out there. Make a game out of it. Recite it back and forth. If you can't do the whole verse, just do a word and make the person next to you say the next word. And then the person next to them can say the next word. And the person next to them can say the next word. And you go all the way around the table, just word by word by word by word until you finish the verse. Okay? Find a variety of things to do with this. Then it's fellowship opportunity. It's a time for family to have spiritual focus instead of just circumstances and details of life. Because there's enough of that, right? Life ought to be more than just appointments and who needs a ride, where, when, and and things like that. Let's have some spiritual conversation related to different passages that we're dealing with. And we're getting an outline here where we can do this. What I enjoy is being able to talk to the little ones, to talk to the kids, and say, how are your verses coming along? And because we're doing the same verses. It's a neat opportunity. All right. Christopher, are you ready to recite? Stand up. Now, if I make you turn your back where you can't see the screen, everybody else can see the screen. All right, there you go. Or do you want to? Yeah, just stand right up here. That'll work. That way everybody can hear you. All right. Go ahead. That's it. Thank you, sir. There you go. So Irma provided our blessing last week, and Christopher provided our blessing this week. Appreciate that. Who wants to do next week? It'll be 18 verses. Zoe has fear in her eyes. I'm going to call on her next week. Next week has the Zoe and Aletheia verse, the way, the truth, and the life. The way is Hados, truth is Aletheia, life is Zoe. So my daughters have an advantage in the... What's that? I should make Zoe and Aletheia do it together. And we can rename Shannon Hados. No? Yeah, it's unfortunate. That's true. You know, somebody said, well, if you had a third daughter, would you have a Hadass? I just don't see Hadass as a feminine kind of name. I don't know, maybe. All right. Any other recitations tonight before I dismiss us? No? Anyone? Any Russian recitations? No. All right. They're working on it, right? Okay. Lily, you have a recitation for us? Okay, go ahead. Please, stand up, please. One of the early ones? Okay. There you go. Remain in my love. Do you remember where that is? John 15? 9. There you go. Awesome. Good job. Okay. Thank you, Lily. That is outstanding. That is outstanding. All right. Let me say a prayer. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your faithfulness and the opportunity we have to come together. And Father, I understand it's summer. I understand folks are coming and going, but help us, even in the summer travels and vacation mindset, help us to maintain consistency. Help us to continue in this exercise, to hide your word in our heart. Father, as we can't suffer. We can't. It's only profitable to dwell on your truth, and I thank you for it. Father, thank you. This is something we can do together, from the oldest of us to the youngest of us. It is a blessing, Father, and we thank you for it. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.